This message was recorded live at Plantation Seventh-day Adventist Church in Plantation, Florida. Welcome to PlantationSDA.tv. Here you will find a diverse variety of Bible-based topics and conversations. God's master plan to inspire your mind, bring peace to your heart, and uplift your soul. May you be blessed and encouraged as you listen to God's Word.
Today, beloved, I want to take this opportunity to acknowledge and thank both your pastors, Pastors Hernandez and Pastors McCoy. As you're aware, as a church, we are searching for a senior pastor. And while we're doing that, you are stuck with us, because any church that does not have a senior pastor becomes my direct responsibility. And we've been working together with your board. And I've called them both here to acknowledge and affirm the work that God has given to them. And if you believe God has given a work for them to do here, let me hear you say amen. Amen. I want you to pray for your pastors and pray with them. The reality is this: managing the work of God is not easy, has never been easy, and will never be easy. And we are here to work with and for you, so that we can build God's kingdom and accomplish the work that He has given here. Pastor Hernandez, as you know, has been here for a little longer than Pastor McCoy, but together the three of us will be doing our best to guide the work of ministry that God has given us here. And so we solicit your prayers, we solicit your support, we solicit your cooperation, and we know that by God's grace, we will be able to accomplish great things. And so, pastors, thank you again, and I pray that God will continue to bless you both as you give the leadership that He has given to you to give to His church. God bless you both. Thank you. All right. So, Addie, is my time done, or do I have time? I have time to preach? All right. 3.5 minutes. All right. And that's going to be prophetic. Welcome, everyone. It's good to see you here today. Thank you for joining with us. I know you're here because many of you are here because of the baby dedication, but more so because we're here to fellowship with each other and to worship the Lord, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Again, I want to thank you, the leaders and members of the Plantation Seventh-day Adventist Church, for all you do to make sure that the work of the church continues, even in these difficult times of pandemic. And so I want to thank our elders, I want to thank our ministry leaders, I want to thank our tech team. Somebody say amen for the tech team. Amen. You know, when the pandemic hit, many of us, many churches had to make a shift, a significant shift to the online worship service. And thank God that the Plantation Seventh-day Adventist Church was not only equipped, but ready to do the work God has given to them. And so we thank God for you and for how you have facilitated the work of ministry in these difficult times. Let me also thank our praise and worship team. Were you blessed by the praise experience today? Amen, amen. And all those who participated in the service, however you did, thank you so much for participating, just so that we can worship the Lord together the way He desires. I want to share a brief word with you from God's Word. And so today I'm going to invite you to take your Bibles in hand with me and turn with me to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 5. And I'm going to read a few verses in your hearing. I'm reading from the King James Version, Luke chapter 5, starting at verse 1. Listen carefully to what the Word of God has to say. Luke chapter 5, starting at verse 1. The Word of God says this. I'm reading again from the King James Version. And by the way, for those of us who are here in the house, please stand with me in honor of God's Word. Luke chapter 5. And for those of you who are watching online, welcome. You can join along with us as we read the Word of God and as we meditate upon the same. Luke chapter 5, starting at verse 1. It says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon Him to hear the word of God, He stood by the lake Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were going out of them and were washing their nets. And He entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed Him that He would thrust out a little from the land. And He sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when He had left speaking, He said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your net for a draught. And Simon answering said unto Him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, At thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down on his knees, saying, Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Verse 11 says, And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. I want to speak to you briefly on the issue following Jesus. Bow your heads with me. Father, bless your word to our hearts. Speak clearly, speak audibly, speak for the honor and glory of your name. And we are confident that you will revive us before we leave this your house. In Jesus' name we pray. Let the church say, Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. Following Jesus. Following Jesus. Following Jesus. Beloved, the fact of the matter is that the pandemic in which we're living, which was occasioned by COVID-19, has significantly upended all our lives and changed things in a significant way, Chris, to the extent that even church, which we were used to doing a particular way, has significantly shifted and changed. And part of the problem we're facing is this. Prior to the pandemic, church wasn't always easy in a specific way. And what are you talking about, preacher? Church wasn't easy in the sense that, to a great degree, many people were just spectators. Can I say that again? Many people were just spectators. So individuals would come and sit in the pews, and they would look on, but they weren't necessarily active participants in church life. Because, my friends, can I tell you that the 2-hour or 3-hour services that we do on Sabbath morning does not consist exclusively of church life? Church, beloved, is more than that. Church, beloved, is beyond that. But most people just come and are engaged in a 3-hour service, sit as spectators, and oftentimes as critics who know what is wrong, what needs to be done right, what needs to be changed, and all of these things. And interestingly enough, when you ask these individuals to come and be a part of what's going on, they just sit there on their royal posterior and do nothing but criticize. It is a very interesting thing, my friend, very interesting thing, that that's what was happening before the pandemic. And do you think the pandemic is going to make it any better now? On the contrary, most people are comfortable to sit at home. Individuals have told me that even when churches reopen, they're going to stay at home because they like the comforts of home. They like the fact that they don't need to put on their face and put on their clothes and come out to church or anything like that. They can just stay home and enjoy what the church has to offer. But can I remind you, friends, church is more than that. Somebody say amen. And because church is more than that, beloved, we want to know, how can we, after a pandemic, become more involved in church life to the extent that we will be not only mere spectators, but actual participants in the process of doing church, which, by the way, culminates on Sabbath because you've been doing it all week. Can I tell you that one of the interesting things about church is this? Individuals come to church on Sabbath, and the preacher oftentimes has to act like a cheerleader, trying to impress you to praise God, to say amen, to shout hallelujah, like where we need to pay you to do that. Let me tell you something. If you had been doing church all week, then when you come here, you would have no reservations to glorify God for his goodness to man. You see what I'm talking about? Only a few people saying amen. You don't want to say it, I'll say it for you. Amen. Because the fact of the matter is, my friends, if church culminates on Sabbath, then we will join in glorious praise to God for his goodness to men. And I say amen. But now, beloved, the question is this. How do we motivate you, the members, those of you who are watching online, those of you who are here in the pews, how do we motivate you to be serious about doing church and doing church life? One of the things that I've come to realize in my short years on this earth is this. If you are motivated by the right factor, you will do anything you want to do. Can I say that again? If you and I, beloved, are motivated by the right factors, we will do anything we want to do. Let me see if I can illustrate. The story is told of a man who one day came to his pastor and said, "Preacher, I have a problem." And the preacher said, "What's your problem?" He said, Well, preacher, I haven't been on a date in quite a while, and I've been trying to go on a date. Lord, you see, the truth is, I want somebody in my life to call my own. I want somebody who can be my sugar plum, my dumpling, my sweetheart." And when he said that to the preacher, he continued and said, "But preacher, as you can notice, I weigh over 300 pounds. And nobody wants to go out with me." And so the preacher, who oftentimes has to be counselor and doctor and everything else, listened, and then he said this to the gentleman. He said, "Listen to me. Tomorrow morning at 8:30, be ready. Someone is going to come to you at your door for a date." A rather strange time for someone to show up for a date, but he said, "Whatever you said, preacher, I'll be ready." And so he got ready that morning, and at 8:30, there was a knock on his door. And when he opened his door, beloved, lo and behold, standing in front of him was the finest specimen of a woman. She had all the right contours. She had the face and the figure. And she had everything that a man could desire. And when he saw her, he could not believe his eyes. But then he couldn't even believe his ears, because the woman then said to him, "The pastor told me to tell you that if you can catch me, you can have me." Well, it took a while for that to register. But by the time it registered, beloved, the woman took off running. And when it registered, he started to run after her. Do you think he caught her? No, he didn't. Because of his weight, you know, he lost breath easily. He was huffing and puffing, and it didn't do much for him. But beloved, lo and behold, the next morning, the woman showed up again and repeated those same words. "The pastor told me to tell you that if you can catch me, you can have me." And not only did she show up the next day, she showed up the following day, and the following day, and the following day, for 3 months straight. Well, what do you think happened after 3 months? After 3 months, beloved, the brother who was weighing over 300 pounds was weighing about now 150 pounds. Somebody say amen. You see, when you're motivated by the right factor, you will do anything you want to do. And so after 3 months, beloved, the lady came back and after 3 months, he said, "You know what? God, you have been so good to me. I've lost the weight. And today when she knocks the door, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it, because I'm going to catch her and she is going to be mine." And so he waited at the door and was jogging on the spot, just waiting for the knock to come. And when the knock came, he quickly opened the door, ready to dash at her. But then he had to pause, because standing in front of him was a woman weighing over 300 pounds. And she said, "The pastor told me to tell you that if I can catch you, I can have you." Somebody ought to understand, beloved, that when you're motivated by the right factors, you will do anything you want to do. Come on, say amen. I want to therefore talk to you about that, because the question is, what will motivate you to not be a mere spectator in church? What will motivate you to be involved in church life in a way that is biblical and meaningful? What will motivate you to get up out of your couch and come and do church with us, which is not only on Sabbath? What will motivate you? Well, as I thought about that, my friends, I went to the Word of God according to Luke chapter 5. And the Bible tells us a very interesting story in Luke Luke chapter 5, starting at verse 1 onward. The Bible says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your net for a draught. And Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, we will let down the net. And when they had this done, the Bible says, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships, and they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all they that were with him, at the draught of the fishes that they had taken. And so also was James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto him, fear not, according to verse 10 thereabout. And then in verse 11, the Bible says, and when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Now, let me put that in perspective for you, beloved, because you don't really seem to understand what's going on there. So the Bible says clearly that Jesus comes to the business place of Simon, tell him, go out there, go fish. And when he did that, the Bible says, when they had gone the biggest catch in their life, they left everything and followed Jesus. I don't know if you know what's going on there, beloved, but when business was at its best, they left everything and followed Jesus Christ. Never before had Simon had fish so great, a catch of fish so great, that his ships started to sink and his nets started to break. But when that happened, when business was at its best, he left everything and followed Jesus Christ. What therefore motivates a man to leave everything like that? Not even consult his wife. Pastor McCoy, please consult your wife whenever you're doing anything. Take it from me, all right? Pack up everything and follow Jesus Christ. What motivated Peter to do this? And what will that motivation, if we find out, do for us today? Well, walk with the preacher clearly. I have a few minutes to tell you this before I take my seat. So walk with me carefully. The Bible says, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him, verse 1, to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake Gennesaret. Let me tell you what that is about, my friends. The Bible says that the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God. Can I park my ship right there today for a little and remind you that the purpose for church and the purpose for the Christian life is for us to grow in our experience in the word of God. Notice the Bible says the people pressed upon him not to hear the opinions of men. The people pressed upon him not to hear what was the latest gossip or news. The people pressed upon him to hear the word of God. Can I remind you today, beloved, that the word of God is still relevant and right for our lives? Yeah. One of the problems we're facing, even in a pandemic, you would think that Christians who were on lockdown, Christians who had to be at home so often, would ground themselves in the Word of God, would read the Word of God, would get acquainted with the Word of God, but all we do is bury ourselves in social media and everything that has no bearing on our spiritual growth. I want to remind somebody today, press upon the Word of God. We need the Word of God. The Word of God, beloved, is not cake for special occasion. It's bread for daily use. Right, amen. You must read it every day. You must live it. The people press to hear the Word. The Word is still quick and powerful. The Word. Jeremiah says, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and they became the joy and rejoicing of my heart. David says, the Word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Paul said to Timothy that from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to wake you, make you wise unto salvation. Jesus himself says, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. We need to ground ourselves in the living word of God. Somebody say amen. The word. So the people pressed upon Jesus to hear the word of God. And the Bible says that Jesus, having left preaching, by the way, before he left preaching, the Bible says that the people were pressing upon him to the extent that the crowd got so massive, he needed a higher platform. And the Bible says this, that he entered into Simon's ship and prayed him, thrust out a little from the land so he could preach. In other words, beloved, because of the size of the crowd, Jesus needed a higher platform. And because Jesus needed a higher platform, Simon allowed Jesus to use his ship. Now that's very interesting, and I gotta say something about that, because hear me. Can I remind you, beloved, that the clothes on your back, God gave it to you. Am I correct? The pretty house that you live in, God gave it to you. The nice car that you drove here, God gave it to you. The education you have, God gave it to you. The money in the bank, God gave it to you. It is not in yourself that you and I live and move and have our beings. None of us here, beloved, are the chief executive officer of Oxygen. It is God who provides all of that. So if God blesses us with all of that, is it a problem if we give it back to God? Look, Peter was there packing up business. Jesus said, I need your ship. Peter didn't even question. Peter could have said, why didn't you walk with your podium or a platform? No. Peter allowed Jesus to step right into it. When we have grounded ourselves in the Word and the Word is making a difference in our life, we reach a point in our experience where whatever God desires of us, we will gladly give it to Him. And we're talking about how you can be motivated to be a part of ministry. You can be a part of ministry by giving back to God whatever He has given to you. Everything you have and own came to you because of God. And if Peter was willing to give his business place for Jesus to do ministry, you and I must be willing to give anything God has given to us to do the work of the living God. So the word was important, and Peter understood that you must give Jesus what he has given to you. And when he did that, beloved, the Bible says, Jesus, having left preaching, came to Peter and said, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Now watch this. I don't know if you have a problem with that, but I do. And here's why I have a problem with that. The last time I checked, the only profession Jesus ever had on earth was carpenter. Am I correct? Or carpentry. He was a carpenter and then he became a preacher. So he moved from carpentry to preaching. Now an itinerant preacher. So beloved, Jesus, carpenter turned preacher, comes to the business place of Peter and says to him, launch out into the deep. Are you walking with the preacher? Launch out into the deep. In other words, let me put it this way, because read verse 10 thereabout. The Bible says that James and John were business partners with Simon. In other words, Peter was a seasoned businessman. He might have well been the chief executive officer of his company and his partners. And how can a carpenter turned preacher come to a seasoned businessman and tell him how to run his business? Hello? I don't know if there's any business owner here, but how would you like if I came to your business place and tell you, you need to do business this way? And I don't know if it makes sense to you, beloved, but look at it. Peter was a seasoned businessman. Jesus was a carpenter turned preacher. And how does he come now to Peter telling him, launch out into the deep? In other words, you didn't fish good last night. Go back out there. The problem with that, however, is this. Everybody knows that night is the best time to fish on the Lake of Gennesaret. Why? Because the nets that they used was made of white linen, and during the day, the fish would see the net and literally avoid it. But at night, the fish could not perceive that the net were there. So night was the best time to fish. So how can Jesus come to Peter and tell him, go back out there? Peter was right. Peter said, Master, we have toiled all the night. In other words, we know what we're doing. We know how to do it. We are seasoned professionals. So how can you now tell me to come here and go out there and fish again? My friends, one of the things that I don't like is when none
professionals come and tell me, the professional, how to do my business. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Yeah, you're all sitting quiet there. But let me tell you, I don't want nobody come tell me how to do my work if I have been trained to do my work. Hello? Everybody knows how to pastor, but you've never been to school to learn to pastor. Everybody knows how to be a doctor, but you've never been to school to be a medical doctor. And the list goes on and on. If you are not a seasoned professional, don't tell me how to do my business. Leave me alone. Let me do business the way I've been doing it. But oh, beloved, I got to rain on your parade for a minute, because Peter says something that is very important. Although Peter protested, the Bible says that Peter, my friends, Peter said, Master. Notice he didn't just say we have toiled all the night. No, he said, Master. That word comes from the Greek word epistate, which means superintendent and Lord over everything. Can I tell you what that is talking about, my friends? Let me tell you this. You might be the expert, but get this, there is a master of the expert. You might be the expert, but Jesus is master. He's master of earth, sea, and sky. He's not a jack of all trade and master of none. Jesus is master of everything. That's why Jesus could say, listen to me, go back out there and fish. Peter said, Preacher, we have caught nothing, not even a sprat. But you're telling us to go back out there? I want to therefore tell you this, my friends. You might be expert of your life, but I'm begging you today, make Jesus master of the experts. The truth of the matter is, business might not be going well for you as it went for Peter that night, but I guarantee you, my friends, if the business of your life is not going well, if you've been fishing and just coming up empty, all you have to do is make Jesus master. How do I know? Because the Bible says that although he protested, he went out there, and when they let down the net, beloved, fish started to come to the net from every direction. And let me tell you about these fish. These fish, beloved, weren't just swimming into the net. Some of them said, let me do a boom flick into the net. Others said, listen, let me dive into the net. Listen, when Jesus says fish is going to come, fish will come. In other words, beloved, there is a blessing in your obedience. Somebody say amen. If Jesus is expert or master of the expert, there is a blessing, hallelujah, in your obedience. When they obeyed Jesus, beloved, the Bible says, nets started to break, ships started to sink, and the brothers could not contain the amount of business that they were getting. Get this, my friends, you might be expert, but I promise you today, if business has not been going well, and even if business has been going well, if you make Jesus the master of the expert, you're going to see blessings flow and overflow in your life. So the Bible says that after doing that, this is where I find it interesting now. Look at this. The Bible says that when Jesus did this, you would think Peter would run, come and say, Jesus, high five. I love you, Jesus, man. I took some money from a down payment from some people at that restaurant, promised them I'd provide them a certain amount of fish for an occasion they had, but Jesus, you saved the day. Did he do that? No, the Bible says that when he saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees and said, Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. Now imagine you just help somebody, and when you help them, they're going to tell you, Get away from me. Why would Peter do that? Why would he do that? Well, the reality of the situation is this, my friends. What Peter experienced that day was not a miracle. Let me say it again. What Peter experienced that day was not a miracle. You see, read the Gospels or the New Testament or the entire Bible. Whenever miracles occur, they naturally lead people to glorify God. Read it in the Gospels. Whenever Jesus did anything, when he healed blind Bartimaeus, when the man was born blind, for example, when he healed him, when he raised others, whenever he did anything, the people glorified God and said, We've never seen it like this. But did Peter do that? No. Peter said, Depart from me. Why? I'll tell you why and answer the central question of our sermon, which is what motivates a man to leave everything and follow Jesus Christ? What motivates a woman to leave everything and follow Jesus Christ? What motivates our young people or a child to leave everything and follow Jesus Christ? Peter didn't experience a miracle that day. On the contrary, he experienced what theologians call this fancy word. It's called a theophany. Now, what is a theophany? In simple terms, a theophany just means this, that Peter got a real sense of who he was, and that was made possible because he compared himself with nobody but Jesus Christ. Can I say that again? Peter compared himself with Jesus, and when he did that, he came to realize who he truly was. Preacher, what are you talking about? This is not a new phenomenon in Scripture, beloved. Daniel experienced it in Daniel 10, and he said his comeliness was turned into him into nothing. Isaiah experienced it in Isaiah 6, and he said, woe is me, for I'm unjust and I'm done. Peter, beloved, was saying, get away from me, Jesus, because I am sinful. In other words, beloved, Peter came to see himself for who he really was in light of who Jesus is. Let me tell you something about church and the problem why people don't often invest ourselves in church. You see, with church, we love to compare. But who do we compare with? We compare ourselves with the other. So we look at the other, and this one dressed better than the other. Or this one is not dressed appropriately. We look at each other. I give more tithes than you. We look at each other. I'm more dedicated to the church than you. We look at each other. I drive a better car than you. We look at each other. I'm more educated than you. We look at each other. My husband is more chiseled than yours. We look at each other. Our closet is bigger than yours. And the list goes on and on. And the reality of the matter is this, beloved. When we compare ourselves with each other, some will look good and some will look bad. But can I tell you something? When we all come to the foot of the cross, none of us look better than the other. Because at the foot of the cross, we are all sinners in desperate need of the grace of Jesus Christ. And you know what's amazing? Ellen White tells us, Ellen White tells us that when Peter said this, while he was saying, Jesus, get away from me, he was holding on to the foot of Jesus Christ. So how can you be telling Jesus to get away from me, but you're holding on to him? Because Peter realized, beloved, that when we come to realize who we really are, in light of who Jesus is, we will also realize that he's the only one that can help us. He's the only one that can redeem us. He's the only one who can make us better. Oh, my friends, stop comparing yourselves with each other. Reach the point in your experience where you will understand how desperately you are in need of the grace of Jesus Christ. Reach the point in your experience by God's grace where, like Peter, you will come to realize who you are in light of who Jesus is. And when Peter saw himself for who he really is, we can't see ourselves for who we really are. We're filled with blind spots. And we walk around, some of us like a peacock, thinking that we're all that and more. But the minute we open our mouth, people realize that there's no substance to us. We don't see ourselves for who we really are. We think that it's okay to magnify our virtues and minimize our faults, but we magnify the virtues of others, or the faults of others rather, and put them down. We don't see ourselves for who we really are. But Peter came to realize who he really was in light of who Jesus is. And when that happened, the Bible says, that's when he left everything and he followed Jesus Christ. Have you seen yourself, my friends, for who you really are? Are you seeing yourself for who you really are? And by the way, my friends, when you see yourself for who you really are, there are two options. You can either hold on to Jesus like Peter, or you can say, I'm so wicked, I have to run away from Jesus. Story is told as I close. of a little boy who, like Kevin, loved his dad, grew up, and one day his dad bought a nice car, a red hot roadster, convertible and all. And the dad just washed it and waxed it and was looking at the beauty of it. And while he was there looking at it, suddenly he noticed that his son was outside with a tool scratching something on the new car. When the father saw that, he got so mad, he ran out there and grabbed the little boy and started to beat him on his hand. And when he came to realize what he was doing, he was using a monkey wrench to beat the boy on his fingers, on his hand. And the damage had already been done, because by this time the little boy was crying out in pain. His fingers were badly broken. They rushed him to the hospital. They did their stuff. And when they looked at it, they realized that the fingers were so badly damaged, they would have to all be cut off. When the little boy heard this, the little boy looked at his dad and said, "Daddy, when are my fingers going to grow back?" When the father heard that, beloved, his heart sunk. And then he rushed out of the hospital, rushed back to the house. And as he went to the house, he paused and looked at the car. And the little boy had actually written on the car, "Daddy, I love you." Oh, beloved, when he saw that and realized who he really was, in light of the love of his son, materialistic, self-centered, he went in his house, took his gun, and blew his brains out. That is one option, beloved, when you come to realize who you really are. But there's a better option, which is clinging to the grace of Jesus Christ. Because that grace is available today. And that grace caused Peter to see himself and left everything and follow Jesus Christ. What's going to motivate you and I to really do what God wants us to do? Not until we really know who we are in light of who He is. And I pray today that all of us will come to realize who we really are in light of who Jesus is, and fall on His grace and His mercy as Peter did that day. And then he left everything and followed Jesus Christ. Father, I want to pray for somebody right now who needs to experience Your grace as Peter did that day. Someone who has been doing business but has been coming up empty all night. Help that person to realize that if they're grounded in Your word, if they give back to You all You've given to them, but also allow You to be master and obey You, You can do for them more than they can ask or think. And so even now, Lord, I make an appeal. You're here today, you've not yet given your life to Jesus, or you want to say, "Lord, help me to commit myself entirely to You." If that is you, won't you raise your hand where you are, where you are? Amen. If you're watching online and you want to connect with us, go ahead and let us know. And so, Lord, You see the hands of Your people. Lead us all to experience You in Your fullness, so that we, when Jesus comes, can be saved in Your eternal home. This we pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Let God's people say, amen.
Amen. And all we need to do is simply draw close to God. So please stand with us as we simply said, "Lord, draw me close to You."
service to a close. We're going to invite you, as soon as the benediction is done, to remain seated, and you will be ushered out at the appointed time. Pray with me. Father, dismiss us with your blessings, and may we go forth with the assurance that you're all we need, that your grace is sufficient for us. This we pray with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen.
This podcast was brought to you by Plantation Seventh-day Adventist Church, a Christ-centered congregation dedicated to spreading the good news of God's love through sermons, deeper dive conversations, and much more. If you would like to listen to more life lessons and inspirational content, please visit us at plantationsda.tv.